It was anything but a typical day at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. Media and victim's family were crammed into a tight room to serve as witnesses to the execution of a convicted murderer, John Grant. It's been 23 years since Grant committed the heinous act while serving an already 130-year sentence for various other crimes, armed robbery and assault. One morning, shortly after breakfast had been served, Grant forced his way into the kitchen at the correctional facility and brutally assaulted Gail Carter, the cafeteria supervisor, before stabbing her more than 16 times in the chest, ultimately taking the woman's life. Gail's daughter, Pam, also worked at the correctional facility in housekeeping and was also at work that morning. She said she'll never forget the commotion and the sirens to indicate a lockdown situation. She made herself safe, as they were trained to do. She patiently waited for the all-clear call. She was oblivious to the fact that her own mother lay dying on the kitchen floor that morning. When Grant was asked why he killed Gail, whose sweet, caring demeanor was loved by inmates and staff alike, he just stated that he was angry. Angry for losing his privileges to work in the kitchen after he and another inmate had gotten into a fight days prior. 23 years later, as they wait for the lethal drug to be administered, it took 23 minutes for the lethal injection to take Grant's life as the innocent bystanders anxiously wait, as they watch Grant's chest move up and down with every breath. Suddenly, he began to convulse violently before coming to an abrupt halt as he breathed his last breath and died. Gail's daughter issued this statement to reporters that day. For 23 years, we waited for justice to be served. For 23 years, we relived the pain and suffering of an innocent woman's death. Today, we receive justice for our loved one. The death penalty is about protecting future victims. Even after Grant was removed from society, he still committed an act of violence that took a life. I pray that justice prevails for all other victims and their loved ones. The marketplace was crowded that day. The weather was abnormally hot as the turbulent sea of people slowly moved through the streets, as 18-year-old Abdallah and his younger brother were sent there to pick up a few things by their mother. As the pair squeezed their way through the wall of people, Abdallah turned around to make sure his younger brother still trailed behind when he accidentally and abruptly ran into the hot-headed 30-year-old Bala. As Abdallah tried to apologize, Bala shoved him to the ground. Abdallah frantically scrambled to get to his feet to not be trampled by the crowd, but Bala shoved him once more. This time, as Abdallah tried to get up, Bala pulled a knife from his sock and stabbed Abdallah 6 times before he could even tell what was happening. Abdallah collapsed there in the street as oblivious passersby stepped over his now lifeless body. Bala ran from the scene, but was later caught by police. It took 6 years for the court to hand down a death sentence. The execution had been deferred numerous times now, but the day had finally come. Justice would finally prevail for the brutal and senseless crime he had committed, and Abdallah's family would have a hand in it. You see, in this Middle Eastern province, the victim's family actually takes an active role in the execution. A gallows had been built in the town square. Policemen marched Bala through the chaotic crowd as onlookers jeered and spit upon the now dead man walking. Guards placed the neatly tied noose around his neck as they helped him step up on a crudely constructed wooden platform. The guard signaled for Abdallah's parents to approach and instructed them, when ready, to kick the wooden bench out from under the now trembling Bala. As Abdallah's parents slowly and cautiously made their way up the steps, both of them frail looking, weathered, both look as if a strong breeze could knock them over. As they come within an arm's length of the man who took their son's life, Abdallah's mother unexpectedly ripped the black hood from the man's that was covering the man's face, slaps him twice with all the strength the frail aged woman could muster, and unexpectedly lifts the noose from around his neck. As she grabs his face, she tells him, "I forgive you." As she turns and makes her way down the steps and embraces Bala's mother, who was standing there in the front row, as the two women embrace each other, sobbing in each other's arms, Abdallah's father helps Bala down off the platform. Bala falls to his knees, weeping at Abdallah's feet as the old man slowly lifts his hand and places it on Bala's head. These were two very similar stories shared. Both tragic and horrific acts were committed, but they had very different endings. The first, justice was served, and the second, grace and mercy undeservedly spared a life. Now, there's nothing wrong with justice. That's why God instituted laws and morality. We're not here to dispute which family is better than the other, but I would like us to look at these from a spiritual perspective. We may look at these and think, we are not like these men, we've never taken a life, but spiritually we have committed heinous acts against our God. Our sin has convicted us. Isaiah 59:2 tells us our sin has caused a separation between us and our God. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our sin, our unrighteousness has separated us from God and has condemned us to death, to spend an eternity in a godless hell. But God, and John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gives us a choice. We can allow justice to prevail, justice that we deserve, or we can love him in return and receive grace and mercy. Romans 5:6 through 11 tells us this, that, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." While we were still helpless, while we were still enemies of God, he sent his only begotten Son to save us, but not only to save us, but to take our punishment, to take our place on that cross that we deserve. Who does that? Our God, that's who. Lastly, 1 John 4:9. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that we can remember the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Lord, that through your predetermined plan, God, that you had a plan to save us, Lord, from the wrath to come, Lord, for our sins and for our acts of violence and just everything, Lord, that we do that we makes us so undeserving, Lord, of your grace and your mercy, God. And we thank you, Lord, so much for who you are and everything you do for us. We thank you for the love that you bestow upon us, Lord, when we do not deserve your love. And we thank you, God, so much for the gift of your Son, that a lifetime of lifetimes, Lord, no matter what we could do, we could never deserve the grace that you give to us, Lord. And just please, Lord God, be with us as we partake of these emblems, which represent your body and your blood, that we can do so in a worthy manner. And we love you so much. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.